come begin to bless the name of the Lord in the Spirit. Come begin to worship Him for His faithfulness of our life. Come begin to say sweet words to Him for His good words.
Blessing God, lifting name, bowing down. covenant keeping God, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because indeed you are Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. You promised Abraham that you will give him the gates of his enemies. Yes, and even him and his seed will possess the gates of their enemies. We thank you for that which you're doing even in our lives, in our midst, Lord, even in this season, in our lives this evening. Thank you, because you're causing us by your mercy and your grace to get the revelation, the wisdom, the anointing, the strength, indeed, to possess the gates of our enemies. Lord, to rise, O Lord God, and awake and be alert. Lord God, and be victorious as more than conquerors, taking our place, possessing our possession in Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you. You are Yahweh. Yes, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the living Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thank you, because our Word gives us life. Thy Word is our life, and our life is the light of men. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you ever live to make intercession for us, saving us to the uttermost. We are bruised on the cross. Yes, you have made, O Lord God, sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Thank you, because by you and in your name we have victory over the devil, over the world, over the flesh. In your name we have power over the devil, over the world, over the flesh. In your name we have power over scorpions, Lord, over principalities, over powers, oh Lord God, over serpents, Lord God, over the power in the air. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank you for that name that gives us life, that life that gives us light, that gives us strength, that gives us courage and boldness. Wonderful Lord, Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for healing. Thank you for strength. Thank you, because you are that another comforter that is right beside us, guiding us into all truth, strengthening us, leading us in the way that we should go. Lord, perfecting that which concerns us. You have shed your blood, your love abroad in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, because even in this place, you cause the name of Jesus to be glorified. You will cause us, O Lord God, to be set free. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You do great and mighty things in our souls, in our flesh, in our circumstances, in our original heavens. We will not live the same way we have come in. Lord, we exalt your holy name. We magnify you. We bless you. Thank you again for your presence. If your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to leave this place. We thank you for your presence in our midst. And we thank you because you do much more than we could ever ask or think. We worship and invite you, Lord God, to take your place and have your way in this place, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You are
God.
Hallelujah.
You are the covenant keeping God.
Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord and clap offering unto the Lord, for his presence is already in our midst. We thank God for his mercies and his faithfulness. Thank God for his goodness and his love. Thank God for strength and the privilege that we have again to gather in the presence of the Lord. So I'd like to welcome you to Zion City Fellowship in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Zion City Fellowship is the campus outreach arm of Scripture Pastor Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mr. Luby Johnson. We go, thank you so much. The Lord bless us. Thank you so much for honoring them. We know that by his mercy and grace, they will see the trouble of their souls. They will be satisfied in Jesus. And I'd like to welcome you and welcome somebody beside you, 2-3 people beside you. So you're welcome in the name of Jesus. Good to see you. How's your week? Trust you had a wonderful week so far. I know you're going to have a refreshing weekend in the name of Jesus. And you'll not leave this place the same way you have come in. We also thank God for those that are joining us online. We trust that by his mercy and grace, the presence of the Lord will be with you and the blessing of the Lord will enrich you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I also give you warm greetings from Prof. You know, he's with us in the spirit and by power of technology. He sends his greetings, and like we always do, we have sent the message to Pastor and Mommy, and they are sending their love and their prayers. You know, we trust that by his mercy and grace, God's presence will be here great and mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just bow our heads as we go straight into a time of sharing the word. Father, we thank you again for another wonderful evening. Thank you for this time of praise and worship. Thank you for your presence as already here with us. Thank you for the prayers and covering of the fathers. Thank you, Lord, for where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. Lord, as we go into your word, we do not go presumptuously. We recognize that the race is not to the sweet, not the battle to the strong, but to whom you show mercy. That you grant us mercy as we delve into your word. You grant us wisdom, revelation, understanding. You grant us counsel. You teach us your ways. You will strengthen and heal us. You will deliver. You will break yokes. You will cause a mighty work to be done in our minds, a renewing of our minds, a setting of the captives free in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you will cause the word to come forth in accuracy, in power and clarity, in simplicity, in the love of the Holy Spirit and power of the same that will help us, Lord, to grow in you, to know who we are, to have wisdom and revelation, to have understanding and strength, to be doers of the work and not hearers only in Jesus' name. We are not ignorant of the device of the wicked one, every spirit of distraction, of worry, of unbelief, of fear, by whatever they are called, contrary to the effective delivery and receiving and practice of the same. We cast you out. We destroy your works. We resist. We bind you. We break your hold and influence. We take authority over you. We loose the angels to minister for us God's perfect will, to the praise and glory of the name of Jesus and blessings of the sons of men. Father, we thank you because you do much more than we could ever ask or think, to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When somebody is praying, make sure you are listening attentively. You know, so the person can say what you can say amen to at the end. Amen means so be it. That you're in agreement, you know, with what the person has said. And we thank God for his mercies. And so we're going to be continuing what we started last week. We talked about, what did we start with last week? What were we discussing last week? Can someone remind me? Yeah? I can't hear you. Thank you. Pulling down strongholds. And that's what we started last week. And God really helped us last week to define what strongholds is. I'll just quickly go through it. But before I talk about that, I want you to know what we're going to talk about this week. Last week, we talked about the what is strongholds and why, you know, these things exist. And, you know, we're able to identify some. In fact, when we were after the survey, after the meeting, when we were just discussing, I think we're driving to UI, it just came out of somebody's mouth, you know, talking about a particular class or a particular course, you know, that is difficult, you know, and what people have said about that course. And everyone just shouted that as a stronghold, you know, but the truth is, the good thing about the resolving situations like this is to first identify what the problem is and be honest with the fact that, we are facing these challenges and we know what this is. When you know what it is, you can identify with it in your life. And you identify with it in your life, half the problem is solved. You know, because the first number one solution every time is being honest, you know, about these challenges, that these things are there. You know, but the most important thing is talking about the solution, about what we are supposed to do daily, regularly, you know, about that area, about these things. And last week, we're talking about strongholds. I'll just quickly review it, but I'll strongly recommend that you go back and listen to that message, you know, about pulling down strongholds. Our text was 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go there, but I just want to quickly define what stronghold is, because, you know, over the week, I found out that it's something that they use in warfare, you know, and it's a tall, in reality, I mean, in warfare, it's a tall tower, a fortress, is a refuge, is a place where the enemy, you know, or even the owner of the land stays. And is a defensive platform for them to be able to locate the enemy and shoot down the enemy easily. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why a stronghold. And that's why the stronghold for us is in our mind. You can see if you check the structure of your body, it's not down here in your feet or in your belly. You know, it's in the head. You know, where the mind is, where the soul is. Are we together? And so that's why we are talking about this thing. We need to pull down strongholds. And we identified the kind of stronghold. We grouped strongholds. You know, and we said that we should be careful that if I don't mention some things specifically, don't try and dodge in your mind and say it doesn't apply to me. You'll be deceiving yourselves. You know, and you know, many times when pastor is preaching, sometimes when he's talking about social media, he talks about Facebook, he talks about Twitter. You know, but he might not be talking about TikTok, But if you're a TikTok addict, you yourself, you're in trouble. You understand what I'm saying? So don't try and dodge and say, oh, you know, they didn't mention it. Some people, their problem is Netflix. Some people, their problem is Super Sports. You know, you all know, we all know what our challenge. Some people, their challenge is YouTube. You become an addict. So in all this, as we are talking about these things, let us be honest in our hearts. That's one thing. Whenever I'm listening to messages, I let it scan my system. The Bible says that, try me, O Lord, you know, and tell me, you know, try me. I'm opening my heart to you. Try me, you know, and reveal to me my issues, so to speak, if I can say that. And so, last week, we said strongholds are a thought pattern or mindset that has been believed and acted upon, you know, over days, months, years. You know, people have even experienced it. And so it's easy to say, that's just how it is, or that's just how I am, or, you know, and that's just how it is in their family, or, you understand, or that's just how it is in the country, or that's just how it is in the academic system, or that's just how their course is, you understand, or that's just how that exam is, jam. They used to say that about jam those years. You do jam twice, she'll be jam, jam will jam you, you know, and so people have believed it. You know, that lecture is very difficult. So it's a mindset. And truly, you know, I don't want to use the words truly, factually, those things have been experienced. The senses have recorded it in the mind. The mind has believed it. And it has seemed to stay like that. And so strongholds many times, they are solid. It has become solid. And I said for us, many times when we say something is okay, and there's nothing I can do about it, that's an example of a stronghold, especially if it is innate, personal. Are you listening to me? When it is personal and you say, there's nothing I can do about it or it's okay, that's an example of a stronghold. Are you listening to me? In our own present-day terminologies or phrases, you know? And so, we also talk about imagination. We said, imagination is also a thought. So you can say everything starts with a thought. You know, the difference between stronghold and imagination is that imagination has been accepted by the human will as true, just like stronghold, but it has not been acted upon. You know, so like I told you, it's not wrong to imagine, but what are you imagining? You should imagine. God wants you to imagine. God wants you to think. But I always say, thoughts I think towards you, that I imagine towards you, are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The Bible tells us, think only on these things, things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of excellence and praise. Today, that's what I want to talk about. What should we replace the negative strongholds with and the negative thinking with? You know, how can we pull down and overcome and factory reset our thinking? Just like you have a mobile phone, you can factory reset it if there is a virus. You can get an antivirus to clean it, but if it is really acting up, or you have a laptop that needs to be formatted, you need to format the hard disk. And so those are the solutions we're going to talk about today. That is what is pressing on God's mind for us. Dealing with the solution, talking about the solution, pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because the stronghold that the enemy uses, you too, you can use it. Are you listening to me? In fact, you're supposed to dispossess him and be in that stronghold, especially of your mind. Are you listening to me? You can have positive strongholds, negative strongholds. And you know, Prof was listening last week. He was out of the country, but was listening. And then he called me on arrival, and he said that he had actually been thinking about that message. And that, you know, when you have a positive stronghold becomes a landmark. We've identified stronghold as negative, in the negative, but you can also have positive strongholds. And that's what should happen. You should be the one that should have taken the stronghold. Like David took Zion. The Jebusites, which means tread, they like to put people under their feet. They have to be in control. Were the ones that were there. And they had told David that he can never come up. Thinking, that word thinking was used in that particular verse. That thinking that he could never come up. And they had said that he cannot even defeat the lame and the blind to come up. It was a big insult. And you see, in our lives also, the devil has said that. There are some ancestral strongholds. Due to the sin nature over the years, over generations, there are strongholds that we lent ourselves. So I can say, like I said yesterday, I said there are some strongholds that they are in it due to the sin nature, due to generation. There are generational infirmities. There are strongholds that they were in there, but we gave Satan a foothold, and then it became a stronghold. Thoughts, movies, scenes in movies, books, magazines. And so you can see how he comes. He comes through the senses and imprints that image on the mind. Then the mind has thought over it, upon it for months and for years. It has become an obsession and becomes a stronghold. Difficult to leave. You know, we talk about the fear of men, fear of death, fear generally. And then you can talk about specifically. There are different fears that have become strongholds. I think you keep getting afraid of. You need to pull it down. Don't think that it's okay, that it's natural, it's there. There's nothing I can do about it. That's a stronghold. And you need to deal with it. We talked about love of sex. We said Satan uses it. Sex was created by God for marriage, for married couples, for married people. I listen to me. But sex outside marriage is sin. Get that. Get it. Irrespective of what they say about partners, cohabiting, forget all those things. Satan is trying to rewrite the entire thing and cause confusion, make wrong right, right wrong. And so many times we say it's okay. No. I listen to me, it seems to be natural in movies. They're making fun of fornication. There are comedies, you know, that make fun of this. And we're saying, you see, it's trying to wear us down and wear down our righteous thinking, holiness mindset, you know, about what God has said. I listen to me. Am I communicating? Yeah, so we talked about love of sex. And I also wanted to say this. I remember something that Grandpa Kelly Verner, who's gone with the Lord, said when he was here, talking to young people. I just want to use this. This just came while I was writing my notes. Especially with regards to marriage. For the ladies, he said, if he doesn't love God more than you and have a job, run from him. Now listen to me. What did I say? If he doesn't love God more than you and have a job, run from him. When it's time to say, I do. For the men, don't think it's just you that they are talking about. I'm a man too. And so I wrote this. Their own is even more. I listen to me. They don't want me to find it, but I'll find it. You know, because I penned it down. I remember him saying that, you know, just to encourage the ladies, you know, that in choice of life partner, I think I should just drop that. I said, if she's a Lot's wife, if she's materialistic, or a Potiphar's wife, if she's immoral, or if she's a Job's wife, has pride of life and likes to save her own head, loves man and loves status more than God, I said, run from her. So you can see theirs is even more. Lot's wife, Potiphar's wife, Job's wife. No name. It's a variable. It means that anybody can feel it. And so, if she is materialistic, like Lot's wife, remember she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Potiphar's wife wanted to defile Joseph. Job's wife said, curse God and die. Run from them. I'm not even talking about Jezebel or Delilah. So you can say for the ladies, it's even worse. I mean, for ungodly ladies. And so we're talking about these strongholds, and we talked about love for money as well, materialism, and being too materialistic. There's nothing wrong with money. Money answereth all things, but the love of it. Especially in our own days where you have this category of people that are into fraud, fishing as in phishing, you know, online cyber crimes, you know, hacking, non-ethical hacking to steal. And so I was telling you that you must not compare yourself with them. This is a stronghold as well, materialism. And it comes in different forms. Even if it's not in that area, you know, wanting to have this, wanting to have that, you're addicted to shopping online, wanting this at this time. You know, those kind of things, you must pull them down. It's just a group. And so today, let's talk about the solution to pulling down these strongholds. We know there are diverse strongholds and in diverse forms. So 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, let's take our text from there because that's where this thing is actually mentioned. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. And so I'll just start with verse 3. It says, For though we walk in the flesh, though we are human beings and we are resident on the earth, we live on the earth, we do not war according to the flesh. That's not the way we war. So you can see we're dealing with warfare. And so in the verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. They're not bombs and guns and ballistic missiles or nuclear weapons. But they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, to align with the way, what is in line with God's will, God's thoughts. Now listen to me. Capturing God's thoughts, as Prof also reminded me. And so the key word I want you to see there is mighty in God, or mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. That just single word is the key thing that is going to use, that we're going to use to know how we can deal with strongholds personally, you know, and challenges that come against us in this regard. And so 1 John 4 tells us that God, that word God, what does it mean? And who is he? And what can we use scripture to interpret scripture? So it's in 1 John, it tells us that God is what? God is what? God is what? Great. God is love. Get me that scripture. 1 John chapter 4, I believe. Are we there? Yes. 1 John 4, 8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is what? God is love. Love is not God. God is love. God defines love. And so, you see, we are talking about solutions. I want us to go straight to solutions, the challenges I'm having, the strongholds in my mind, the inherent or generational, or the one I've learned by seeing, by hearing. They've said something over the years. They said that department, nobody comes out to first class, so careful. You have tasted it. You have smelt it. You have felt it. Strongholds. And then it has been registered in the mind as an image. You know, like I was telling you in computing, if you want to format a computer, you already have something on it. So you have to download the image. It can be a Windows ISO or a Linux ISO or a Unix ISO or an Android ISO. You know, you have to download it from the internet. We'll talk about how that relates to us as humans. And then you have to write it on the hard disk. You have to install it. When you're installing it, it's writing it. It's not like factory reset. The image can be there, you know, but you have to format it. And then when you format it, you can reinstall or the thing shall reboot. Do you understand? But it's rewriting afresh on the hard disk of your laptop, on your computer, on your server, on your phone. And so, for pulling down strongholds as well, we are going to have to go through those kind of things. We have to renew our minds. And we'll see what we're going to use. That's why we're talking about these things, the tools. We're going to talk about the tools and what these tools will do. To pull down strongholds, the Bible says the weapons, they are mighty in God. And God is what? Love. So if you check the characteristics of divine love, we're going straight to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8. You see that the characteristics of divine love deal with all the challenges that you could ever ask or you could ever face. I beg your pardon. You know, we're talking about lust. We're talking about fear. In fact, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. All right, listen to me. And the Bible also tells us that, you know, love is patient. Love is kind. It's patient in getting something. It is kind. It bears up under everything. It's not covetous. It's not greedy. It bears up. The Bible tells us, Paul talking says, I've learned to be content and I've learned to be abased and I've learned to abound. That's love. Let's really go through love. Let's go through the characteristics of divine love. See, what I want to identify here is for you to see the solution and then to know what I'm supposed to be doing on a daily basis to carry out this solution and to experience this solution. And so we have seen that it says again, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. through God. And we've seen that the number one thing about God is that God is love. Say, God is love. Now, what is love? How can love dispossess and help me to pull down strongholds? We've mentioned some of the strongholds. So when you're going through this characteristics of love, I want you to think, go screen and scan strongholds that you might be facing in your life and check whether there's any characteristics of divine love that addresses that issue. Are we together? This is hands-on. When I'm teaching, I do hands-on, practical. You understand? So that you know whether this thing resolves it. Surely it's going to resolve if you're very honest. Now, give it to me in NIV, and then we do Amplified. NIV. It says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. So if you're checking, you see that the wire, you know, that connects and allows certain things to happen. Love is already, those connections are there. It does not envy. The reason why people are materialistic sometimes is because they are envious. Do you understand? They are competing with other people. You know, the guy already has something, and the person wants to have it. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful. Love is not proud. Next verse. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Some strongholds of people is anger, easy anger, resentment, bitterness. It keeps no record of wrong. Some people, the stronghold is resentment, unforgiveness. And so you can see love is addressing these things. Next verse. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices the truth. This already deals with lusts, fornication, love for sex. We said sex out of marriage is sin. Inside marriage is the will of God. And even then, you have to have self-control. Do you understand what I'm saying? Next verse. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres, it always endures. If you check New King James, it says it bears upon that anything. Next verse. Love never fails. Give it to us in Amplified. And so, again, let's reread it. Check against the strongholds hitherto that you've had and the challenges you've had in your mind, those mindsets. Check whether there's any characteristic of love that addresses it or doesn't address it. And so when God is saying the weapons of our weapon are mighty through love, so they're pulling down strongholds, he knows what he's saying. Because love addresses everything. It says love endures long and is patient and kind. Even in getting something and having something that God wants you to have, you need to be patient. You need to endure. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. The reason why we have this materialistic issue amongst young people is because people are competing and comparing themselves with other people. They want to be this quickly. They've heard about the celebrities and they are seeing all this thing on social media. The guy has these cars, he has his house, you know, in this place, he has his mansion, he's this young and he has this number of fleets of cars. He already has this at 25, he already has it at 30. But love is telling me that I should endure long and patient. Love is not something that I can't have it too. God wants you to be rich in all things. But there is a time that is tied to it. God wants me to be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. God wants me to be blessed in my going out, in my coming, my storehouses. Everything is there. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. But it is not contrary to love and love's timing and love's way and love's method. And so you see, love endures long, is patient, is kind, is not envious, does not boil over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious. And I'm not having things because I want to be boastful and I want to be known. Do you understand? I want everybody to see me, you know, on TikTok. I want everybody to know me. I want to be a celebrity. Fast, fast. Quick, quick. And so love does not display itself haughtily. And so if you want things because you want to display yourself haughtily, then there's a question mark there. Next verse says, love is not conceited, is not arrogant or inflated with pride. If a major challenge and stronghold that you have is pride, you can see that love addresses that. Love is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. And so that generalizes all kinds of ways people are acting unbecomingly. Mannerless, rude. Do you understand? Love, God's love does not insist on its own right or its own way. It is not self-seeking, is not touchy or fretful or resentful, is not bitter, is not unforgiving. Love takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to its suffered wrong. Next verse. Love does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness. That's a vast whole of thing. Unrighteousness includes fear. Unrighteousness includes immorality. Unrighteousness includes all the works of the flesh. And we said that all the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. It talked about stubbornness. It talked about hatred. It talks about witchcraft. All those things are liable and they tend to be strongholds in the minds of men. And the guy couldn't even list everything. He said, of such like. And so you can say love does not rejoice at injustice or righteousness. So love can capture, and it captures all those things. Thoughts of unrighteousness, strongholds of unrighteousness. It does not rejoice, but only rejoices when right and truth prevail. And last verse, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It might not have what it wants at that point, but it knows how to bear under anything and everything that comes. It has the power and the wisdom to bear under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person, including himself or herself. I listen to me. Some people, their stronghold is they don't like me. They can never like me. You know, even if I do, I don't think they can like me. There's that stronghold of low self-esteem. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, we all know the challenges that we are facing. These things that have been with us for years. It says, love believes the best of every person. Love, its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. When they say you can't make it or they don't make it in this situation, you will be faithless. Your hope will be faithless in that circumstance. Love endures under everything without weakening. Next verse. Love never fails. It never fails. And bring that into academics and learning, where they have said that people will fail that exam. Love never fails. I know it might be difficult when 1,000 people and 1,000,000 people are saying, it will fail, oh. And you now say, it never fails. It can be very intimidating. But the Bible says love never fails. And that's why God himself is saying, look, for you to pull down strongholds, it is through love. Are you listening to me? Because love contradicts lust. Love contradicts the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Love contradicts the love of the world. Love contradicts the ways of the world. Love contradicts the thinking of the world. Love contradicts the manner the world does things. It's totally opposite. So expect that. What's the word to use now? Expect that contention. Expect that you moving in that opposite direction. When they are saying, in all their years, there's nobody that has, I've heard something about geology UI. That department is very difficult to. And you go through and you say, it's not going to be difficult for me. People first look at you. Even you look at yourself. You see that? But that's when you have to allow yourself, it has to be the word. And it takes faith. I listen to me. It takes faith because the Bible says, and that's why God, you see, God is very smart. Of course, God is smart. That's why he said that our warfare is not by sight, it's by faith. He knows what he's saying because he knows what you're going to be facing. He knows what your sense is going to tell you. He knows what people are going to tell you. He knows what the situation is going to tell you. And so he's telling you ahead that it's by faith, though. One. Number two, it is through love. So if you want to say things and do things that are contrary, and I will give you power against what is coming against you, number one thing to consider is what? Love. Alright, listen to me. Are we together? Now, we're going to still stick to that word, God. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, that in the beginning, John chapter 1. Give me John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was what? God. So when we read that verse again, and it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. What's the word that we can put there? Love. What's the next thing we can put there? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? And the Word was what? God. Good. So now we've seen that the Bible has told that God is love. And we've gone to see 1 Corinthians 13, the characteristics of divine love, that through love we can pull down strongholds. The next thing we can see that we can use to pull down strongholds is the Word of God. I listen to me. See, the love of God and the Word of God, you see what they will do. They will give us the answer. It's like an equation. And it gives us the solution and answer of Romans 12, chapter 2. In Romans 12, chapter 2, it says that be not conformed to this world. Romans 12, chapter 2. I'll read it in NLT. I like the way it says it. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, love, the word, we'll see the third one that God means, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, the stronghold, the reason why Satan and God contend for that place, and that place between your two ears is a war field, is because whoever takes that place takes the body. Whoever takes that place takes the image of the person. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If Satan takes hold of your thinking, God forbid, you're going to be like him. You're going to think like him. I'm going to show you. If God takes hold of your thinking, the Holy Spirit takes hold of your thinking, you're going to be like him. You're going to start thinking like him. I listen to me. So, that's why I gave the example of the computer, of downloading the image and writing it, imprinting it on your mind. Sorry, on the hard disk. And the computer becomes fresh and new. No viruses. Or you do factory reset of your phone. The phone becomes new. Do you understand what I'm saying? Still the same body, but the thinking of the phone is totally different. And so, here it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, love, the word, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn. Now, they're talking about machine learning. They're talking about AI. The things, they are learning. If you're using Meta, it is learning. It has learned. They've put data into it. They've loaded it. And so when you ask it anything, it's giving you an answer, not because in itself it knows, but because they have downloaded information and data into it. And so it has learned through the data to be able to give you an appropriate answer. And so this one, it says, then you will learn. You'd have formatted your mind through the word. The word will give you that you are more than conqueror. The word will give you a solution to those different strongholds. It will address those different strongholds. Where there has been stronghold of failure, stronghold of fear, you see that there are scriptures that attend to it and say, God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Where there is stronghold of fear of death, you see that the scripture tells you that you will live and you will not die. You live to declare the glory of God, the land of living. I listen to me. Where they have said that there is failure, you will say, I am head and not tail. Daniel was at least 10 times. There is the scripture and the word that addresses and contends and overrules and overcomes and pulls down each of those strongholds and challenges. Now, your work is going to have to come to fellowship, to come to church, to read the Bible. We'll start to see the things that we need to do, their responsibilities. So let me tell you something. Anybody that tells you that they can lay hands on you to pull down strongholds is a lie. I can lay hands on you, maybe by virtue of the gift of the Spirit, because there's an obsession, you know, on an oppression, you know, or a torment. And by that gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit moving supernaturally or spectacularly can cast out that thing. But God doesn't expect you to live like that. That's why the Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I can put my hand and rub your head until you have bald head. You understand? But it's not going to give you, that's not permanent solution, permanent victory. And so if that's the way that people are doing to cheat people or to deceive people, there's always a deliverance service. Look, the ultimate deliverance, I saw somebody's status, and the person had this. I had to Google it because I had forgotten it. But apparently, it's something that's a quote, a beautiful quote that had been said. It says, deliverance gets you out of Egypt, but discipleship gets Egypt out of you. Deliverance will get you out of Egypt. No, that's fine. But these strongholds, so there may be spectacular issues. There might be certain issues that there can be deliverance services, one-time deliverance. But this one that the person comes out for the same deliverance over and over and over and over again, and I'm wondering, then the person hasn't been taught, or the pastor doesn't teach how you can disciple yourself and know the word. These things that I'm telling you about love, about the word, and the responsibilities. There are places, yes, like I said, there are places where you can receive jump starts, where a person has been so weak, you know, and overcome, and then he needs encouragement and he needs jump starts. But to now say that we need to be pushing your car every time for you to get to your destination is not me and you. You know that you yourself, you have to learn to fix the car and drive the car. Jump starting is just one time. You don't expect them to live by jump start. You want to live by jump start? God forbid. You want the car to be active, to be repaired, to be fixed. So deliverance is like jump start. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is by, yes, one time, yes. But to now want to live by the gifts of the Spirit, no. God will not approve that, because he wants to grow. Thee shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I listen to me. And so we can see that we need the word to pull down strongholds. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God. And so, of course, you get to see that that word is not just by knowing it. You must speak it. You must think it. I think one thing that is lacking in our generation because of instantaneous, I think it was myself and Sarah, I said that she observed that we're just driving, and we noticed that everybody was on their mobile phone. People are on the road, they're on their mobile phone. You understand? I don't want to say it's a season. It's not a season. It's a life, it's endemic amongst us as young people that we are always on our mobile devices. Heads are bowed on the mobile devices. You're thinking, reply the WhatsApp message, reply the Snapchat, reply the Facebook iMessage. There's always one thing. So the time to, people are saying there's no time. We're so stifled. But can you take time out to meditate? Everybody's talking about yoga. You hear it a lot, don't you? And people want to do yoga. Well, do you know that many of those things, they're already in the scriptures? Meditation, it has always been. Meditating the word. It's just that people want to meditate on other things. They want their legs to be crossed and then think about some superfluous things. But the Bible talks about, as a man thinketh in his heart, you need to spend time with the word of God. It's the word. You need to speak the word, irrespective of how you feel. You live by faith, not by your feelings. You pull down strongholds, not by your feelings, but by faith. I listen to me. You keep saying it. You keep thinking it. You need to renew your mind. You need to reformat your mind. You need to download the image, the revelation from the word, and speak it and think it, irrespective of how long it has been and what men have said. That is what it takes, so. That's why I say you will live by faith and not by sight. I listen to me. Good. The next thing, and the last thing about the word of God, about that word God, is the person of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. You know, there are three persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that I will give you another comforter. The person that is with us right now is God, the Holy Spirit. He's inside us. He's with us. He's all around us. So the world does not know him, because they do not see him. The world lives by sight. The world lives by feelings. The world lives by touch. You know, like doubting Thomas, I will not believe until I see. But the Holy Spirit is invisible. You can't see him. He's as much God as the Father and as the Son. And he's in you. Do you understand? And the power and the evidence of his presence is speaking in tongues and travail and praying. See, because strongholds, they are strong and they are holds and they are solid. And to melt them to liquid and gas, you need power. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And many people haven't touched him. So in the beginning was the word. I keep going back to that scripture. We pull down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not natural. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty through love. They are mighty through the word. And they are mighty through God, the power of the Holy Spirit. You must recognize the presence and the importance of the person of the Holy Spirit in your life. You must take advantage of his power and his resources. You know, he comes through a still small voice. It's not noise. It's not It's not the usual, you know, razzmatazz. It's a still small voice. And it's through praying. You must spread time in place of prayer. You must spread time in place of speaking in tongues. You must spread time in place of praying in the Spirit. The Bible says deep calls unto deep. You want deep answers for deep solutions, you need the Holy Spirit. Right, listen to me. You want to pull down strongholds. The Bible tells us that God himself is a stronghold. You don't put down the stronghold of joy, or stronghold of sorrow and depression. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Holy Spirit, joy, is the strength. The joy of the Holy Spirit is our strength. Are you listening to me? And so, let's quickly see and end with what these things that I've mentioned, love, the Word of God, praying in the Holy Spirit, what they actually do to strongholds and help you to cast down imagination and bring into captivity every thought to the brains of Christ. So, we've already seen Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, to the fears and what this world offers, and the lusts that become strongholds, and the fears that this world brings, and the materialistic desire that this world tries to dominate you with. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to, what the love of God will do for you is that it begins to renew your mind. Where people have been greedy and what people are chasing, you just be content and be normal. And they wonder, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? It's because you're experiencing a new renewal of the mind. You know there is a time for everything. When they say that, they are saying this, they are thinking this, they are believing this, you are not just moved by those kind of things. Then you know that the love of God is already renewing your mind. When people are afraid of certain things and you have the Word of God dwelling richly in you and you know what the Word says about this, about that, then they will say that you are different. That's a renewal of the mind. I listen to me. And so he says, be transformed. You will be totally transformed gradually. I'm not saying it's one day, but one day it starts, but you continue in it. You begin to pull down strongholds in your mind. Do you understand? The thing begins to change gradually, but surely, by the renewal of an, so that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, give us Romans 8:5. I want to show you something about still that thinking aspect. Romans 8:5. Are you getting something out of this? Now, in Romans 8:5, I'll read the NLT for you. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, we will think at that point about sinful things. But when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit and dominated by the Spirit, we will think about things that please the Spirit, things that please God. In God's Word, let me read it in God's Word. Those who lived by the corrupt nature have the corrupt nature's attitude or belief. But those who live by the spiritual nature have the spiritual nature's attitude. So love, the Word, and God, the Holy Spirit, when you live by their thinking and by their ways, you'll be controlled by their thinking and by their ways. Are you listening to me? But when you allow the things, like I've told you, being at the wrong place at the wrong time, or maybe the person hasn't prayed in the morning, and Satan knows how to set things up. Like I've said, some things are ancestral. One thing, the sin nature is in the soul. Even when we get born again, you see ourselves doing what we don't want to do. But they are not strongholds. They've not latched onto us. But there are things that begin to strengthen those things. But we need to weaken them. So it's important that you pray so that God can coordinate your steps. Take, for example, see David. He had a problem with women since he was young. Before he was 30, he already married 3 women. You know that he has a problem with women. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, God winked. But the day kings were supposed to go to battle, he did not go to battle. And what happened? That's why that's the importance of the things that we're talking about, what we'll talk about at the end that we're supposed to be doing on a daily basis. To weaken and melt what has been hard and make it like lava. The Bible says that the hills melt at the presence of the Lord. What has been a stronghold, it will melt today in Jesus' name. Now, you listen to me. And so for David, he had that issue, but it's something that, God just winked. You understand what I'm saying? But, you see, the day that thing manifested even worse, that went to a level that heaven
went totally displeased was the day I was supposed to go to battle, which signifies the importance of prayer, battle prayer. Don't mess with the devil, though. See, he hunts for the precious life. You that you're hearing is, you are very precious. God loves everybody, but the fact that you're hearing this, God, there's a kind of responsibility that is on you, that is making you stack different and setting you apart from others. And so, observe what happens. He didn't go to battle. Then, how come it was at a particular time when the woman was bathing that he went upstairs? And so he went upstairs. The guy had coordinated and configured the thing where he was supposed to have, well, for us as New Testament people, he's supposed to have spoken in tongues and scattered his machinations and his plans. There was nothing like that. And so as the king, he went upstairs and then he saw a lady taking her bath. And then the thought latched on that, he started seeing himself with her in bed. I listen to me. And so that one latched on. That one didn't just latch on like that. It's entered into his system, into his feelings, you know. And then the thought came that, look, get her. She'll be your king, you know. He got her. And not only did he sleep with her and kept quiet, he also killed the husband. So you can see where it went from, how that stronghold, it was a foothold before. He didn't do anything about it, but from the foot, the thing went to the head. And from the head, the thing manifested physically. So that's why that's the importance of daily using the love of God, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to renew our mind. How do you renew your mind? You begin to get revelation from the word of God. What does God say about this situation? What is God's view about this matter? What is God's thought and his words about this particular thing that has been an issue for me? So the renewal of the mind is essential. Give me 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It simply says our stronghold is darkness. Strongholds are darkness. Of course, Satan, we know them as the kingdom of darkness. God has transcended into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of light. And so any negative stronghold is darkness. But to shatter it, you need the light of the revelation of the word of God about what God says about that situation, about that thing. I listen to me. In the beginning was God, and the word was God, and the word was God. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. The word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a what? Light unto my path. It's to shed light on your mind, to renew your mind, to say no to drugs, no to illicit sex, no to immorality, no to the works of the flesh, no to sadism, no to rebellion, no to anger, no to bitterness, no to failure, no to lack, hitherto, no to fear. I listen to me. And so that is one thing. The next thing, like I told about, is the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you use the power of the Holy Spirit? How practically do you make something that is strong, molten, to melt at the presence of the Lord? Is it just by I've read it, I've said it, they've said, yeah, the presence of the Lord? No. You have to pray in the Spirit, deep travail. You have to enforce. Okay, I've gotten revelation that I will live, I will not die. I've gotten revelation that I'm head and not tail. I've gotten revelation that God has not given me a spirit of fear. I've gotten revelation that I can be 10 times better than my peers. I've gotten revelation that God will bless my storehouse. I've gotten revelation that I can become more like Jesus. I can dominate sin. But then, is it just going to fall upon me like ripe cherries? No. You have to enforce it. Those strongholds, how do you pull them down? The enemy is not just waiting and looking like that now. He wants to, it takes fight. And so in Matthew 11:12, it tells us that the kingdom of God suffers what? Violence. And the violent takes it by force. You want to protest? Protest on your knees. Protest in the place of prayer first. Do you understand? Get angry in the realm of the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. The works, the people we are fighting are not natural. They're spiritual. And so you have to take that stronghold by fight. By violence, by being violent in the realm of the Spirit. How are you violent in the Spirit? Is it by speaking English and moving up and down and shouting? And No. It's through praying in the Spirit. And so you see in Galatians 4:19, it says that, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Strongholds have been formed, but to replace strongholds, you need Christ. the image of Christ. You need a new image. You need to download a new image and install it on your system. It's not just by downloading. I don't just download revelation of Christ. Oh, Christ knows all things. Christ never gets sick. Christ never, you know, Christ dominated sin. To get the image, as you've gotten that image of Christ, in him I hid all the treasures of wisdom. You've gotten the revelation of Christ in the life of Daniel, in the life of Joseph. You know, you've gotten the revelation of Christ in the life of Joshua. You've gotten revelation of Christ, yes, wherever the soles of my feet. You know, all those kind of promises that we like. But it doesn't just work like that. You need to enforce it in the place of prayer. You need to let it form. Because greater is Christ than the devil or any other form that has formed in your mind. And so, for it to be installed and be engraved in your mind, you need to let it form. And it comes through travail. The Bible says that, my little children, for whom I travail, I labor in birth again until what? Christ is what? Solidified. You want something else to replace your stronghold. You want Christ to replace your stronghold. You need to travail. You need to labor in birth, in the place of prayer. And that's why every first Friday, I can encourage you, we start by praying. And we pray with all types of prayer. You might not understand, but start there. The Bible says, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and strong crying and tears. It's like someone that is in the toilet, or the woman that wants to give birth. You don't baby yambo. No. Try. Yay! Travail. I listen to me. So, I mean, it's not popular. Who says it's by popularity? It's like what the word says. And the solution, I need a solution to my problem. And travail. I will speak in the spirit. I will speak in the understanding. I will pray in the spirit. It's a will. It's not when there's a strong anointing. That happens in some places, you know. But you can do it as a sign of your will. You should do it. As a will of your mind. You understand? There's a way I want to put it. You know, you should do it by will. You don't wait for a special anointing. What if the special anointing doesn't come? So you will not travail. The thing will just bombard you and beating you. No. You travail until Christ, the replacement for that negative stronghold, is formed in you. I listen to me, it's formed in your mind. That's all you will believe. When they say there is a casting down and they are saying negative things and they are thinking negative things, you will say there is a lifting up. You'll be thinking positive things. I listen to me. Are we together? But it takes travail. Thank you. In the days of his flesh, when he had offered a strong crying and tears. The Bible says when he wanted to raise Lazarus up, he had Jesus groaned in the spirit. Jesus groaned. It's like when you're in the toilet, you don't push down the excreta. Nobody pushes down excreta like that. You want to get the waste out of your mind. You travail. I listen to me. Great. And so, you see, doing this will release the power of God in sufficient measure from your spirit into your soul, where that thing is, to melt it, to begin to pull it down. And then, you see, you can now declare the word of God. Many people like to declare the word of God. I will live, I will not die, by stripes I'm healed. But there are some strongholds. They don't just hear those things. It takes power to have gone. That's why I've told you, it's never by frontal attack. To enter Jericho and possess Jericho was never by a frontal attack. They needed to circle Jericho. They needed to blow trumpets. The priests needed to carry the ark. Each of those things have their meaning. There needed to be intercession. It wasn't the first day they shouted, though. See, people like praise and worship, those things that are, you know, enticing to the flesh. They wanted the things that are exciting. Just declare the word. They didn't blow the trumpet on the first day. They went round with the ark. That's deep intercession. The Holy Spirit is still small voice. It's brooding. It's releasing power. It was on the seventh day. They now did the blast of a trumpet and they now shouted, yeah, whatever they shouted. And then the walls came down. But to tell me that you're just going to do praise and worship, you know, you're just going to speak the word. Some stronghold. It might look as if the stronghold might hide itself. And sometimes God supernaturally moves. But if you want to grow and you want to be experiencing this permanent victory, and you're able to give to others, because you can't give what you don't have. You want to give deliverance to others and set others free, you must do these things. We must learn this. We must practice these things. It must become a culture. Just like the world's own has become a culture to us. No, the world's own must now become a culture for us. You must rewrite culture. You must rewrite tradition. You must rewrite your thinking. Are we together? And so on a daily basis, what am I supposed to do? Like I told you, I like to be practical. How can I involve love, invoke love into my mind to begin to rewrite and renew my mind? How can I invoke revelation of God's word, get revelation of God's word, you know, to begin to renew my mind in different areas and specific areas? You know, there are challenges, guys, in this time, but I must let you know that there's also grace that abounds. For every challenge, there's a solution, and it's in the word of God. But it also takes revelation, and it takes faith, and it takes you practicing these things for you not to be overwhelmed in these times, and for the strongholds not to pull you down, but you pulling them down. And so, give me the landmark to paths of life. I don't tell you that that thing already contains solutions to many things that we need. Landmarks to the paths of life. First and foremost, you clean with the blood. That's the honesty part we're talking about. Oh Lord, I recognize that I have issues, this stronghold, you know, that it keeps coming, it keeps ravaging. It's not just a thought, you know. There's a difference between a thought that I've not accepted. Thoughts come, negative thoughts come, you know, but there's also imagination that is disturbing me that I've not acted upon. Then there are strongholds that I've believed over the years, I've structured. Just first acknowledge them and confess them. Lord, I have issues in this area. I have this problem, this stronghold, or this imagination that comes tormenting me, you know, and I want this stronghold to become, this negative stronghold to now become a positive stronghold, a positive landmark. And so you can see landmarks or strongholds on the path of life, or the path of victory, or the path of pulling down strongholds and casting down imagination. Clean with the blood daily. Confess your sins. Little sins, big sins, ancestral sins, generational sins, associated sins, inherited sins, sin by whatever way, in thought, in word, in deed. If you confess your sins, God is faithful. First, remove that self-condemnation. First, remove that low self-esteem by confessing your sin. Because if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's why the blood is there. That's why he shed his blood, for the remission of sins. Are you listening to me? If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart now. Are you listening to me? And so it now says the next thing that you should do is pray for the fruit of the Spirit and the love of God. You can see again, these are, if I do this, I'm already invoking and pulling down strongholds by love. The weapons of my warfare are mighty through love. So you have to say this on a daily basis and think it. I love righteousness and hate iniquity. Even if your hormones, later your hormones begin to align. Are you listening to me? You need to begin to say it. Those hormones, because hormones, they are being pressured by the power in the air, but the Holy Spirit can also direct them and take them. If you read the book of the Songs of Solomon, she was speaking so well about him, and he was speaking so well about her in Solomon's chapter 1 to 4. But by the time you get to Solomon's chapter 4 to 8, when they have married, she begins to tell you things that are more intimate that are for married. Do you understand? So the point I'm trying to make is that when I'm not married and I'm single, there's a way I need to control the hormones. And marriage, I'm married. Marriage will not cause you not to burn. Now listen to me. I know Paul said that, but the most important thing that will help you, whether you are single or you are married, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Is the presence of God. Knowing that in his presence there is fullness of joy and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. What if you are home alone? What if you go on a trip and you are married? If you don't have and engage the power of the Holy Spirit and you know how to do that thing, how to use the Holy Spirit to control your hormones, your body, your mind, you will see yourself doing things you're not supposed to do. That's why this is not just the natural things are not the answers. He knows what he's saying. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through love. And so every day, pray more for the fruit of the Spirit. Pray more for love. Pray more the characteristics of love on a daily basis. The next thing is pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We said the way you renew your mind, you must have revelation. You must download the image. You have to pray for it. Are you listening to me? We have to pray for it. The next thing is pray for strength. Pray for life. Last week, I don't want to go over it, but I'll recommend that you go and listen to the message. We said the way they took the stronghold of Zion, where the Jebusites were, they did not go front attack. They went through the water pipes. You need life. You need water. The Bible said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. When the enemy comes, like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against him. The word that I speak unto, they are spirit and they are life. I have come that I might have life and have more abundantly. In him was life. The life was the light of men. As the Father has life in him, so the Son has life. You need life. You need energy for your prayer to be potent. For you to be able to pray in the Spirit for a long time about a particular situation, you need life. You need strength. You need energy. And that's why you need to pray for strength in the inner man. What you need to pray, we've already put on the WhatsApp. What exactly am I supposed to pray? What are these strongholds? These are strongholds that will make you circle those negative strongholds and pull them down. That will make you circle your mind and take control of your mind greater part of the day. When you are done with that, then you can now pray in the Spirit with travail. If you don't know how to do it, join people that do it. By association, you know we learn negative things by association. You can learn positive things by association. And so in this church on Tuesdays, on first Fridays of the month in Zion State Fellowship, we are praying with travail. We're not just praying in the Spirit and praying in tongues. You get to a point where as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. A new stronghold begins to control your thinking and affect the way you think, what you believe, who you are, your personality, your tastes, your love, your dress code, your manner of life. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody else begins to take complete control. Are you listening to me? It won't be the negative person from the outside taking control, but the creator, your owner, begins to take control, who is Christ. Are you listening to me? And then balanced Bible reading. You need to read the word of God. Oh. How do I know these things? How do we know these things? Of course, we come to church where the word is spoken, where the word is read out, where the word is taught. But I also read the word of God. You need to read the word to know the word. You need to read the word to get revelation. You have prayed in the Spirit. Oh God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You have prayed in the Spirit. How do you decode and interpret what you have prayed in the Spirit? You need to read the Bible. Then you begin to see, this is a solution to this negative issue, these negative thoughts, this unforgiveness. This is a solution. Something will just touch your heart from that scripture. You know, something will just enlighten your mind. Daniel, he didn't fail. Daniel was in the Old Testament. Me, I'm in New Testament. I can be 10 times better. What they have said about this study, naughty problems. You begin to see scriptures that apply to different areas. You know, where is it they cast down? You say there's lifting up. It begins to affect your mind. You need to read the word. And of course, these other things, you pray in the Spirit. But even when you first do those first six that we mentioned, the other ones will be easy for you because the Holy Spirit begins to prompt you to pray in tongues about different situations at different times. You begin to get light. You'll be at the right person. A person can just give you, you'll be at the right place at the right time with the right people. They'll just say things that you need. You'll be in fellowship when you need to be in fellowship. You'll be in prayers when you need to be in prayers. You'll be amongst right friends that are saying right things. That will touch you and that will help you. Are you listening to me? These are practical things that I believe when you do, you will take the strongholds. Do you understand what I'm saying? You begin to pull down strongholds. You begin to cast down imagination. You begin to replace negative strongholds with positive landmarks, with positive strongholds. Your life will change. Your thinking will change. Your mindset will change. Your lifestyle will change. Your belief system will change. Your appetite will change. Your hormones will begin to align. I'm not saying temptations won't come. But what I'm trying to say is that love endures. And love stands and bears up under everything. The power of the Holy Spirit will be there. Revelation will be there. When you fall, you will rise again. Are we together? And so, that's all I have for you. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Being doers of the work and not hearers only. Yes, spectacular manifestations to jumpstart. But discipleship to get the Egypt out of me. Supernatural daily doings and practices to continue to pull down strongholds, generational and ancestral strongholds. inherent strongholds that are inside, or the ones that I've learned, I need to unlearn them. I need to renew my mind. I need to pull down strongholds. Lord, grant me the grace to use the love of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to imprint your image on my mind. What am I supposed to do? These daily instructions to speak, to acknowledge my sins, these issues and challenges, and receive forgiveness, to confess the love of God according to 1 Corinthians 13. Against love, there is no law. Against love, no stronghold can stand. That's what it's saying. Against love, no work of the flesh that has become a stronghold can overcome me. They begin to fall like Dagon fell before the ark of God. I pray for wisdom and revelation, for light and understanding. I pray for strength and life in the inner man. Like Joab went through the pipe and they took Zion, and it became a stronghold for David till today in Israel. And then I pray in the spirit with travail, so that Christ, the new stronghold, can be taken and formed in me. And I read the word every day. I find time to read the word, to believe the word, to speak the word, to look for what the word says in this area and in that area. Let's just stand up on our feet as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we just come with hearts of thanks even for this word that we've heard in these past 2 weeks about pulling down strongholds. You have showed us that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal or natural, but they are mighty, because greater is He that is in us, the mighty Holy Spirit, mighty in God, in a love, in the word and the power of the Holy Spirit, to pull down any stronghold, strongholds of fear, strongholds of lust, strongholds of materialism, Lord, that come against us, or that hitherto have challenged us and faced us, to cast down imagination and bring into captivity every thought to the prince of Christ. Lord, we ask for mercy. We ask for grace. We ask for strength. We ask for help, Lord, on a daily basis, to follow these landmarks of the path of life, to pull down these strongholds and to walk in victory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's just pray in the spirit of Rolaske, Tetherliske, Jekatariska. Thank you, Father, for your mercy, Zakaya. Thank you, Lord, Josekatariska, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, Bakaya, for Doria, for the pulling down of strongholds, the Messiah, Paduria, in and upon our wheels, the Messiah, Paduria, Pazakatariska, our minds, the Meshaka, Tetheriskaria, our emotions, Zakatariska, Paduria, pulling down lust, Zakataria, Pazaria, fear, casting out fear, Beralaska, Tetheriskaria, dealing with materialism, Keliska, Tetherlusko, Rebazakataya, setting up the image of Christ. Of wisdom, of purity, of contentment, of revelation, that we will live, of your life of God, of destroying the works of the enemy, of fear, of pride, of immorality, perversion, lack, generational infirmities, the works of the flesh, however way it is manifest, in the key, in the mind, in the will, in the emotions, in the physical body, in the cells, in our circumstances, in our original heavens, let the life of God, the wisdom of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to reign, change, renew, transform us, edify us, set us on the path of life, permanently, to the praise and glory of your name. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for a release of fresh anointing, fresh mercy, fresh grace, fresh help, fresh strength, fresh desire and longing for the landmarks, for the path of life, and the grace to practice it and do it, never looking back, not turning to the right, not to the left, to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.